everybody, and welcome to episode 132 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who likes it in the can, cranberry sauce, that is, Brian. Brian, how are you on this happy turkey day?
Did we talk about my love affair with canned cranberry sauce, or did you just figure that about me?
I just guessed that. I mean, you are a man of taste and culture. You are a wise man. So I assume that means that you know that cranberry sauce out of a can is just as good, if not better, as anything you're going to make homemade.
Growing up as a kid, my mom was such a fan of making cranberry sauce from scratch. And I remember it was just this sloppy mess that was bitter and it was kind of sweet, but it was just like, it was like a liquid that just spread out across the plate, infecting everything on, you know, around it. That eventually I probably put up with it for about 4 or 5 years. And then finally, one year I asked her if she could buy the out of the can. And you could actually see the poor woman's heart slowly like crack in half,
right,
as her youngest son raised his hand and said, I would prefer garbage that's been made in a factory over your homemade, with love. And she would make her own cranberry sauce, and then she would just slop that canned shit right on a plate.
Nice.
Cut it a couple times, and I would eat that.
I mean, you know, full disclosure, I didn't cook today. We ordered a couple of turkey platters from somebody nearby. And so the platter, I mean, it was a great platter. It was turkey gravy, stuffing, potatoes, carrots, creamed spinach, and he also made like a cranberry orange relish to go along with it.
Was this from a person? Did you just show up to somebody's backyard, or you're making it seem like this was like a backyard turkey platter that you purchased?
This is from a local chef who is now, his restaurant is closed, but he utilized a professional kitchen at a tavern that wasn't doing anything. And so I was able to pick him up on Wednesday. But point more being is one of the more delicious meals that I have had, with the exception of the homemade cranberry orange relish. Like, he could have easily just thrown it in the trash, and I could have just had the stuff out of the can.
You also easily could have thrown it into the garbage.
I could have, but you have the power. Give it a chance. I said, you know what?
Okay.
Let's try this and then see what happens. But anyway, happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Should we get this truck moving along, Brian?
I think so.
Drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Drink of the week. Sláinte.
Who's? Drink of the week. Drink
Brian,
of the week. Drink of the week.
What are you drinking on this special day?
So many different things I could have. But I ended up with Ebb's IPA number 2. Hold on. I got to realize I'm always doing it in the opposite. So Ebb's IPA number 2. Something that I would consider, it's a classic American IPA.
Okay.
I would describe it as, it's super yummy.
Looks good.
Really exceptional. It almost has a hoppy flavor to it.
As the IPA would.
Pretty much.
So take a sip. Although, have you had IPA number 1 from them, or is this your first try?
Listen. Number 1 was okay, but I'm all about number 2.
I understand. Well, Brian, this week, you know, I think you and I, we don't agree on a lot, but I think we can agree that there really is rarely anything good that comes out of the state of New Jersey. However, I hold in my hand today one of those rare exceptions from Cape May Brewing. This is a white cream stout called Ties the Room Together, brewed with coffee beans, cocoa nibs, my favorite, lactose, as always, and vanilla, clocking in at a hefty 8.5%. I've had this beer before. It is a limited edition. They always bring it out in the fall for a few months. I had to drive to like 4 beer stores to find some.
Listen, if you are not a Patreon subscriber right now, go to our website, click on the link, become a Patreon subscriber. We are doing an After Dark tonight. Ron is drinking an 8-point-something alcohol ABV beer. It's going to be lit, folks.
It's going to be something. going to be something. Yes, and I have to admit, Johanna, Ron likes the white cream. The white cream stout, that is. So if you are out and you see this from Cape May Brewing, I would highly recommend that you go get it. Would you try this if I have some left by the weekend, Brian? Or are you just afraid of lactose altogether?
No, I would absolutely try it. I've had beers with lactose in it. It's a weird consistency. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm also I'm always open to try new things. I could go gay this weekend for all I know.
I was also able to find the Yuengling Hershey's Stout. So I do have a 12 pack of that. I did try a bottle, which I, for the first time, I wasn't able to find it last year. Pretty good. You know, it's a chocolate stout where you can actually taste the chocolate. And it's, I think it's rare. I think a lot of chocolate beers, you don't get that flavor, but this had that nice sweetness and you could even tell it was the Hershey's chocolate. Like it's got that distinct taste to it. So I give it credit.
In a world where Ron saves one of the Yuengling with Hershey's chocolate stout beers aside so Brian can have it when he goes to visit Ron.
I mean, I don't think I'll drink the remaining 11 by this weekend, but you never know the way this night might go.
In a world where Ron underestimates his alcohol problem.
That is true. Very true. All right, let's get it rolling into This Week in Radio.
This
week.
Racism. Paper is apart today. There we go. So a few cases of racism in the past week. We had two pages worth, only a page, because we were really trying to stick to the really racist stuff. This is interesting, I guess, more of an update than anything else. In Louisville, Kentucky, as a result of the Breonna Taylor murder, the Louisville Metro Council has approved an ordinance that will place the police department under the watch of an inspector general and a civilian review board. The board can authorize the inspector general to investigate police complaints, review police reports for quality and accuracy, as well as review completed internal affairs investigations into police killings. Officer discipline will still be handled by the police chief. And interesting caveat they built into the ordinance is there can be no more than one individual on the civilian review board with a law enforcement background. So they are
really
different organizations in Louisville. The opportunity to put people on this board. I think the NAACP gets a couple of seats, some other local organizations. So hopefully they can enact some change there. Going out to the West Coast, Fresno County, California, 102 people connected to two white supremacist gangs face charges as part of an investigation dubbed Operation Lucky Charm, run by state and federal authorities. The investigation targeted the Fresno-based street gang, the Fresnecks, and the prison-based Aryan Brotherhood. Authorities confiscated $136,000 in cash, 90 pounds of meth, 47 guns, and 6 pounds of heroin. The 102 defendants are located across California, Nevada, and Montana. Half were arrested last Thursday, with the other half remaining at large. You ran with the Fresnecks for a while, if I recall, when you were out.
I'm going to tell you something. I prospected for them for a period of 3 months during the spring of 1978. It was an awkward decision for me to walk away. They decided that I was not quite Fresneck material. Basically, it was my inability to handle any type of prison sentence. Every Fair time enough. We got picked up by the local cops, I literally snitched on everyone. The idea of going to jail was just too much for me. And when all said was done, the Fresnecks just said, listen, you know, your heart's in the right place, but this just isn't right for you.
If you can't do the crime, don't do the time.
It's actually vice versa. That 8.9, have you ever thought about the possibility that it has nothing to do with the alcohol content, but it's the lactose that just makes you looser?
You know,
it makes my bowels looser. So, like, it's possible that it just... it acts as a social lubricant for you.
You raise a very good point, Brian. We'll have to check into that. Back to racism, though. This in Michigan, Big Rapids, Michigan. Ferris State University professor Thomas Brennan has been placed on administrative leave due to racist, anti-Semitic, homophobic Twitter posts he made while referring to COVID-19 as a, quote, leftist stunt. He referred to the Holocaust as a Zionist eugenics program, saying, quote, they killed the old and weak Jews and sent the young and strong ones to Israel, and they blamed it on everyone else. He also referred to those who voted for Biden as, quote, zombie N-words. In a statement he posted on his website, he stated, I believe the N-word is a mind control spell designed to make us hate each other. I am not racist against black people. I love and respect them. But I reject the premise that there are certain magic words that should never be used in any context or by certain people. I uttered the word to try and neutralize its power. Now, Brian, I sent you the full three-page letter that he posted on his website.
Sure, Red.
Discussing it. How would you categorize Professor Brennan?
Okay. I'm going to tackle this. he comes across as somebody who refuses to apologize when wrong, yet at the same time makes a very weak argument in defense of saying wildly inappropriate things. Anyone who sits there and says, listen, yeah, I used the N-word once, but that's because I'm trying to take it back from the racists. Someone who sits there and says, yeah, you know, I may have questioned, you know, the legitimacy of Holocaust survivors, but, you know, all I was really trying to do was create a world where people thought for themselves. Like, no.
And I think the fact, Brian, on the main page of his website, he talks about how he is fighting the battle against the Antichrist. I think there might be some insanity there.
Now, does he identify who the Antichrist is?
I don't think, you know, they never identify who the Antichrist is, just that they're ready to battle against him or her. I guess that could be either.
Can I make a prediction?
You sure can.
Barron Trump.
It checks out. It honestly would check out. So we'll have to
wait. I believe Antichrist candidate 2020.
All right. Staying in Michigan, in Oakland County, a sheriff's deputy has been fired for posting a photo of a carved watermelon intended to depict Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. Sherry Prose posted photos on her Facebook page featuring several pumpkins meant to depict President Trump, Vice President Pence, and President-elect Biden. A second photo, however, showed Harris as a carved watermelon. Prose had worked for the Oakland County Sheriff's Office since 1994, but was fired 4 days after making the racist post. She insisted to a local news station that she is not a bigot, texting, I am not a racist and never will be. Not quite explaining why she would have used a watermelon instead of a fourth pumpkin, though.
Maybe she just ran out. I mean, it's completely plausible.
But using a watermelon seems more of a waste than a pumpkin. Like, yeah, I can see a waste in a pumpkin, but watermelon's good stuff.
I was about to say, when and how did a watermelon become considered a, how do I say this, a racial slur? It's universally appreciated. How did that one ethnicity get, like, a claim to it?
Maybe we'll have to look into that. A little homework assignment for Ron and Brian.
Okay. Which, fair enough. Fair.
We'll see. And then going back to the West Coast in Issaquah, Washington, a video has gone viral showing a Lyft passenger hurling racial slurs at a driver that asked him to put on a mask. The footage shows a passenger identified only as Joe from Issaquah, which sounds like a sports radio guy. Yeah, I got Joe from Issaquah on line three.
I was going to say that actually sounds like the West casino at Foxwoods up in Connecticut. Oh, so, where are we going to meet? Let's meet at the roulette table down at the Issaquah lounge.
So Joe from Issaquah was yelling at driver David Congogo repeatedly.
Congogo.
I'm pronouncing that wrong. Repeatedly calling the driver a sand N-word. Karen have been permanently banned by Lyft. In a stunning fate coming at them, they've both lost their jobs and they are being evicted from the home that they rent. Joe from Issaquah apologized, saying that he was drunk.
Okay.
I've been drunk many times. I'll be drunk during After Dark. and I will not be using the N-word. So I don't know why I continue to use that excuse that, you know, it's the drinking that makes me call people horrible names. Like, I will call you horrible names, but they are not related to any ethnicity or religion. I just say horrible, horrible things about you.
Well, you did once call me a he motherfucker. I mean, that hurt my feelings.
I was young and foolish, if you will. But moving on with our beef of the week.
Ronnie Bryan's beef of the week.
Brian, what's bothering you?
Americans that did you just call me a he motherfucker?
No,
I could have sworn I heard you just mutter like, Brian, what's your beef of the week? You he motherfucker.
Anyway, continue.
Sorry. Americans that insisted on holding a traditional Thanksgiving dinner in 2020, ignoring the pandemic, ignoring the health risk that they were bringing to their families. I saw today on the news that FAA is estimating 1 million Americans traveled by airplane this week to visit family or to just travel anywhere. I mean, they can't pretend that they know where they were going. But just looking at all these people who are like, listen, you know, yeah, there's a pandemic going on, and yeah, Nana's not feeling too well lately, but damn it, I need to eat stuffing next to her as opposed to stuffing her. But it just rubbed me the wrong way. Okay. You know, I made sacrifices this year when it came to Thanksgiving. I know you did. And it was, you know, out of concern for family members to make sure that they were, you know, safer with their, you know, with the people that they live with and whatnot. And despite all the rising numbers of not just number of infections, but the rise of the positive tests, the rise of hospitalizations, that people still decided they needed to fly home to mom and dad for Thanksgiving.
But and I think, you know, we were talking about how in Pennsylvania, the government said to bar and restaurants that they had to stop serving alcohol at 5 p.m. yesterday. But all that ended up doing was, I think, the majority of Pennsylvania residents just kind of shifted and started drinking at noon so that, you know, they could get a good 4 or 5 hours of drinking in. Because when I went out to pick up my turkey platters and do some other running around, every bar I drove by was packed, just packed with people. So I think, again, instead of it just being 9 o'clock at night, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Our numbers are going to be so fucked in 3 weeks.
Oh, in 2 weeks. Yeah. I mean, we even got a alert on our phones at like 4:30 yesterday from the state of Pennsylvania, just being like, listen, COVID numbers are on the rise. Stay home if you have to. Do not go out. But yeah, in 2 weeks, it's going to be, unfortunately, it can be very ugly in a lot of areas of the country. I mean, there was, you know, I was looking at a map, and it was, you could put in the number of attendees at events that you could possibly go to, and it was going to give you the percentage of chance that there was going to be at least one person there with COVID. And I think the worst was Bismarck. Is that North Dakota where Bismarck is?
South Dakota.
It's one of the Dakotas. But if you went to an event with 10 attendees, there is a 68% chance that at least one person there would have COVID. That was the highest in the entire country. So it's going to be, it's going to be bad.
The problem with Thanksgiving is the fact that everybody is traveling. And I don't mean everybody, but so many people are traveling and then flying back. So whatever they're picking up here, they're bringing there. What's there, they're going to bring over here. Syphilis out of control. It's going to be a scary couple months, folks. So, you know, the vaccines are looking very promising if you believe what they announce in the news. But it's not going to come soon enough. People are going to die. And that's scary. Ron, what's bothering you?
So what's bothering me, and I want to ask your opinion as to who I should be angry about over this.
Your wife.
Leaves, Brian, are bothering me. I'm going to tell you why. Leaves like that.
Are you talking about the Glengarry Leeds?
No, leaves, like fall from a tree. Leaves.
Leeds.
So we have something in our township here where you can literally just blow or rake your leaves into the road, and the township will come by with a big truck and just vacuum up all the leaves for you. So you don't have to like bag them and put them out and all that. So, but what they say, the caveat to that is don't do it until like a week before we're actually going to be in your neighborhood. Well, no one is listening to that. And so now there are piles of leaves in all of the streets around my neighborhood. And it's literally like a slalom course. Like there is no road around here that is not a single lane road now because of all these goddamn leaves. And it's even worse on a garbage day because our garbage men suck and can never get the cans back to the curbs as it is. So that just adds another, you know, level of you know, I guess, terror to it. So I guess my question is, should I be more upset with my neighbors for not following the rules or more upset with the township with being like, maybe we need to do this more than two times a fall because clearly people have a lot of leaves and want to utilize this service.
I'm going to go with you. First off, your beef is not with leaves. Your beef is with your neighbors for not following the rules and your township not setting up a adequate program to pick up leaves.
This is why I ask you. You know, sometimes my anger can be misdirected. I get that. I'm a bit of a hothead. I've got a bit of a temper. I've been told I'm an asshole.
Do you know what it takes to pick up all the leaves in a township? Brass balls.
Yes, Glengarry Glen Ross, the Alec Baldwin cameo in Glengarry Glen Ross, hands down one of my favorite movie scenes of all time.
And that scene was written for the movie.
For the movie. Is not in
the play. Not in the play. I was so bummed out when I went to see the play. I saw Alan Alda, Liev Schreiber, a bunch of other people that I don't remember. But...
And has there been... And there probably has been, but has there often been a better cast than was in Glengarry Glen Ross?
No.
I mean, look at it. Kevin Spacey pre-accusation. Alan Arkin, Ed Harris.
Pre-alcoholism accusation.
Jack Lemmon.
Date rape accusation.
Al Pacino.
Godfather 3.
And Alec Baldwin, of course, Thoughtless Pig voicemail.
You beat me to it. God damn it. Well done.
Oh, this is interesting. So Billy is saying that Tom...
Yes, and Jeffrey Tambor. I remember seeing Jeffrey Tambor in it.
Now, Jeffrey Tambor I can get because I like Jeffrey Tambor, but Tom Wopat, Dukes of Hazzard, that I have a hard time picturing.
Ron, it's the fact that you live within walls and you cannot envision anybody breaking out of these predetermined lanes that you've created for them. That's what happens when you grow up and you live in a lily white suburb where your biggest complaint are your neighbors putting out their leaves.
Fair enough.
I'm carrying a pocket knife on me in case a homeless person tries to push me onto the subway tracks.
Fair enough. Well, let's talk about something a little happier. And that is, Brian, congratulations. 2-0 again in your NFL picks. Let's look at this. You were a little nervous. You were saying New Orleans -4 versus the Falcons. You were a little nervous because Drew Brees wasn't going to play. Didn't matter. New Orleans wins 24-9. You were looking at Baltimore against the Titans. You were like, I think Baltimore is a little overrated. Baltimore favored by 5.5. Titans win the whole thing in OT 30-24. Undefeated yet again. That's what, 22-0 for you right now?
Yeah, yeah. You know, if at the rate that I'm going, I will have a better season this year than last year. And I didn't even think that was possible.
Well, good job.
But without me just patting myself on the back, Ron, you did not have a shabby week either.
That wasn't
the Viking rolled into Dallas, laying 7 on the road. You sat there and said, listen, anytime the Cowboys are in the great state of Texas, I don't even need the points. Cowboys won the whole game 31-28. Then the Las Vegas Raiders going in against the Kansas City Chiefs, Raiders getting 8. They only needed four of those as Chiefs win 35-31. Ron, again, 2-0. Another impressive showing.
Thank you. Tell me
something. How do you do it?
You know what? I'm kind of like Rain Man. I just look at the games and the odds and the numbers, and some of them, they just fly up and they just kind of slap me in my face. They slap against my cheeks. And then whatever just feels good, I go with.
Run that by me again about slapping you in the face.
So, Brian, who are you picking this week?
All right, this week, I just thought of a great – I should have picked the two Thursday games.
I just acted like there was all over, my friend.
Yeah, but I you probably would have let me. This week, I like the Dolphins -7 over the Jets. Fucking hate the Jets. Also, I think the Eagles are calling it quits on their season. Seahawks laying 5. I like Seattle. Ron?
All right. I like a couple of road favorites next weekend. The Raiders, tough loss at home against the Chiefs. They're going down to Atlanta. They're favored by only 3 points. I like the Raiders -3. And then Jacksonville has Cleveland coming to town. Cleveland with that win over those Eagles this past week. Cleveland favored by 7. I like the Browns on the road to go to 8-3. So if you had got any of that Thanksgiving money from your grandparents, which you shouldn't have because you shouldn't have been getting together, but let's say you did, I would say bet it on these games and make some money like we are. We are cashing in on our NFL locks of the week, and there is no reason you shouldn't also.
And all we ask is for a 10% tribute.
Just a tithe, if you will.
Just want to wet my beak.
It works for religion. It works. It should work for us. So, Brian, what else was going on this week?
This was the week that Joe Biden kind of clinched the presidency.
I feel like it's all over. Although they did have to stop the certification of the vote in Pennsylvania. And there will
Why?
Be a judge last minute on Wednesday ruled on, I forget who brought the case, whether I guess it was either the Trump campaign or somebody else, to hold on the certification of the vote in Pennsylvania. There will be a hearing tomorrow as Governor Wolf and the Secretary of State is obviously fighting that. But again, if we look at some of these lawsuits, and I believe the Trump campaign is now 1-36. They were 2-35, but the Pennsylvania Supreme Court actually reversed one of those wins. So they are 1-36. Not going well. Would you like some highlights from some of the Trump lawsuits this week?
I would love it.
All right. So Georgia, one of the lawsuits down there was thrown out. This was actually filed by L. Lynn Wood Jr.
He's good.
He's good. You might know that name. He represented Richard Jewell, the accused Atlanta Olympics bomber, and also made news recently because he is representing Kyle Rittenhouse, shooter that just got out, who we'll talk about a little bit later in the show.
Put a pin in that name.
So this was I had a chance to read through the judge's writings on the case. It was amazing because the judge initially threw out the case saying that Wood did not have standing to file on all the different claims he made in this case. But then he went further to say, even if you did have standing, this is why you would lose each and every part of your case. Anywhere from, you know, there were some that were not filed in time because there were things that he was objecting from back in March. So he was out of the window of objecting. But basically the judge was like, most of your lawsuit lacks either a legal or factual background. So just a verbal smackdown by that judge.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I followed the judge's statement. And unfortunately, this is another instance where politics is infringing on the judicial branch of this government. This was a Obama judge who was heavily leaning against anything having to do with the Republican Party. You cannot take this judge's words to be fair and accurate. Clearly, you know, the way he phrased his wording of his judgment, this was somebody who, you know,
was a Bush appointee, wasn't it?
What?
That judge was actually a Bush appointee.
Excuse me?
Anyway. So,
No. That guy was a hardcore Republican. Yeah, like the Republican Party in Pennsylvania actually stepped up.
Well, that was when. The next one, the guy I'm about to tell you about, is the one you're thinking of in Georgia, Judge Matthew Brand, who is a hardcore Republican, a Bush appointee, who threw out or dismissed the case by the Trump campaign. So, can I tell you about that one?
Ron, are you accusing me of not having all my facts together?
I'm just saying, possibly. You might be okay. Muddled. But I'm anyway, listening. So Judge Brand wrote in a memorandum opinion about the Trump campaign case, quote, plaintiffs ask this court to disenfranchise almost 7 million voters. This court has been unable to find any case in which a plaintiff has sought such a drastic remedy in the contest of an election. In terms of the sheer volume of votes asked to be invalidated, one might expect that when seeking such a startling outcome, a plaintiff would come formidably armed with compelling legal arguments and factual proof of rampant corruption, such that this court would have no option but to regrettably grant the proposed injunction relief, despite the impact it would have on such a large group of citizens. That has not happened. Instead, this court has been presented with strained legal arguments without merit and speculative accusations, unpled in the operative complaint and unsupported by evidence. The judge then went on to dismiss the case with prejudice, meaning that the case cannot be brought back to court. So that was a tremendous smackdown to the Trump campaign.
It was like Monday Night Raw.
yes.
The thing that gets me is that in all of the efforts by the Trump campaign and their legal team, who's on that campaign, we're unsure of at this point. They are knocking lawyers off left and right. But what I find, I want to say confusing, but I understand that the reality of the world we live in, that it's just all bald-faced lies, but they've not brought any evidence into court to back up their claims of massive fraud. And the election was over 3 weeks ago. So whatever fraud took place would have happened 3 weeks ago. They've had plenty of time to accumulate it. And keep in mind, as soon as this election took place and the numbers started sliding towards Biden as the mail-in votes were being counted, it was just, you know, like, the, you know, we have the evidence. We're going to provide it to court. It will become very clear to everyone that this the election's being stolen. But they've not brought anything into court. They've got stories which are utterly unsubstantiated. And the problem is, and this is one of the things that I've picked up from watching court TV, is that, why are you laughing? In an appeal, you're not allowed to bring in new evidence.
Correct.
So that if there is evidence that you are not bringing into the original case, then you can't show up later and say, oh, by the way, here, like, you see a lot of the Trump supporters over on Parler who are saying, well, this is all part of his master plan. Of course, they have to go through the legal system, but it's once we get to the Supreme Court is where it's going to be overthrown. But when it gets to the Supreme Court, they don't have the opportunity to bring in new facts.
Well, yeah, and everyone's saying it's going to go to the Supreme Court. I would highly doubt the Supreme Court would hear any of these cases because, to your point, there is a tremendous lack of evidence. And even so, in a number of these cases, the number of voters that number of votes that they are contesting would not swing the election in Trump's favor to begin with. Dealing with the evidence situation, they're not even filing competent, coherent lawsuits. You know, we look at Michigan, which is a case that Rudy Giuliani is involved in, and a lawsuit that they filed there mistook Minnesota for Michigan. The township, they have townships listed on page 11 and 17 of the affidavit in that lawsuit. It lists Monticello, Albertville, Lake Lillian, you know, a few different cities here.
Those are lovely during the summer.
Those are all townships in Minnesota, which do not have any corresponding townships in Michigan. So So the judge in Michigan's like, why would I care about what's going on in these townships when they're in an entirely different state? And then Sidney Powell, who for a while seemed to be involved with the Trump campaign, and then they
Trump tweeted her as being one of the top lawyers on the team.
They have clearly distanced themselves from her, but she was still going to release the Kraken. That was the big thing. So she filed lawsuits in Michigan and Georgia, both of which the internet has been very busy making fun of all the typos in the lawsuits. In the Michigan case, Powell misspelled the word district in the heading and also left out spaces between words in numerous areas, while also misspelling district twice in the Georgia case. Also, her Georgia lawsuit lists Cobb County's Republican chair Jason Shepherd as a plaintiff, but he states that he has not agreed to be a part of that case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like these and again, people keep asking, when are the courts going to start sanctioning and fining the lawyers that are bringing these cases, because these are frivolous lawsuits. And again, because they are involving fraud, there is a higher bar of proof that they are not even coming near.
But they're not coming with anything. I find everything that I can, I shouldn't be shocked because, but I really thought that they were going to have like good lawyers. Like I was expecting a Bush Gore Florida type legal effort. And literally, it's like you would get a better legal defense with using Cellino and Barnes, who advertised in the fucking New York City subways.
But going back to that Georgia case with Lynn Wood that was thrown out, like a number of his arguments, he utilized the Supreme Court case of Bush versus Gore for Florida, and like the judge pointed out, like, this literally has no relevance whatsoever to your case. So why are you are bringing case law into your case that has no relevance to the argument that you're trying to make?
But could that possibly be because Rudolph Giuliani, who he's put in charge of his legal case, who's actually presenting the arguments in court, has not been in a courtroom and trying a case for 30 years?
I guess. I mean,
he clearly doesn't understand the law anymore.
I mean, again, we've had this conversation about, you know, Rudy Giuliani over the last few weeks, and you have to wonder where exactly his head is, because he is a
less melting
laughing stock than he was before.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, if you go back to Rudolph Giuliani, November of 2001, I would have gotten on my knees and literally chugged him off if I had to. He was America's mayor. He made New York feel safe. And now he's,
interestingly enough, earlier today, Trump was talking to reporters at the White House after doing his annual address to U.S. service members, and basically said that he will leave the White House if the Electoral College certifies Joe Biden as the president-elect. So
really?
It does not appear that he will concede, but again, that's not something that's necessary.
He doesn't have to.
It's a courtesy. It's something that's just been done. But I mean, all we really just need him to do is just leave.
He's got 2 months to fuck things up, and he is going to. There's already talk that he is interested in getting to a military conflict with Iran. He started to. Now, here I have a question for you on the pardons, because this week he pardoned his former head of the National Security Council, General Rob Flynn. Rob Flynn?
Michael Flynn.
Michael Flynn. Wasn't Michael Flynn one of the Lord of the Dance?
I think that was Michael Flatley. I think you're
close.
Confused. Very close. Closer than you normally get.
I'll take it. But what is, I literally just lost my train of thought. What were we just talking about? Michael? Oh, yeah. So the pardons. Here's my question for you.
Yes.
Wow, this EBS IPA number two just dumbed me the fuck down.
It did, yeah.
My question to you is this. Can you be pardoned if you do not have any charges or any case against you?
Apparently, yes. So apparently,
what are you being pardoned for? Like everyone's talking about how he's going to pardon Ivanka and his sons and Jared. But there's no charges that have been levied against them. So
what I've read is that you don't necessarily have to be charged or be, you know, indicted or anything like that. So you can be given a pardon for your behavior, and it has to be specific as to what the behavior is. Like, you just can't say, I pardon you. But if you wanted to, you know, say I pardon Ivanka for, you know, illegally obtaining trademarks in China, you know, then from that date going back, you can't be charged for anything related to whatever
related to that. For. So he literally would have to list every transgression that they've ever had.
Correct.
As part of pardoning them. I think that would be even more embarrassing.
And, you know, what's interesting is no one has ever attempted to fight a presidential pardon in a court of law. You know, it has always been accepted that, you know, a president pardons someone. And typically it has been someone that is in prison or is doing time.
Yeah.
It is rare that you see something like what has happened with Michael Flynn, where he was still awaiting sentencing. In theory, can still tell Michael Flynn that he has to go to prison. And then it would be up to Michael Flynn to appeal the situation, saying, but I was given a presidential pardon. And then, you know, that would be the first time in American history that a presidential pardon was tested in a court of law.
I would imagine that the pardon overrides the court case.
No one's ever tested it, though. And that's interesting. The thing. Like, could you make the argument that, you know, the act of pardoning someone was as criminal as whatever the action was, because the individual in person knew of the crimes that the person did?
Am I wrong for saying that I think Flynn got a bum rap?
I mean, he definitely was a fall guy to a point. I mean,
I get it. He had communications with the Russians. They were caught on a wiretap. So it was, there was no denying that he lied to the FBI. Lost his job. So he's, you know, he'll never be able to hold high power or a high ranked job. But like, do I think that he should go to prison for lying to the FBI? I don't. I'm sorry. I think this guy, I think he got his punishment. He's been humiliated. He lost his job. But there are plenty of people that have done way worse that are, belong in prison.
Well, and it'll be interesting.
Tekashi 6ix9ine is walking the streets and well, he's not dead.
Is with
he would it. Be in a world where Brian is hoping for Tekashi 6ix9ine to die so he can get 48 points or 93 points or however the fucking many points in his Deadpool.
Oh, I think I would take the lead if that were the case.
Well, there's a lot of people who have him. There's so many people that have Tekashi.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, someone. I think 14 people picked him. Like, it was just everybody was up. But what's interesting about Michael Flynn, people have made a couple of points about him, is that now that he has been pardoned, let's say Congress or, you know, the attorney in New York State goes after Trump and calls Michael Flynn to the stand to testify about some of these things tied to what he has been pardoned for, he can no longer utilize, he can't plead the fifth anymore because he has been pardoned. So therefore it is impossible for him to self-incriminate. So because of that, he can no longer invoke his Fifth Amendment rights. So if he is called to testify against Donald Trump, he either needs to testify or he will be held in contempt of court and go to jail for that.
All he has to do is just say, I don't remember.
It would be
Reagan did that. Reagan did that his entire second administration when the walls were closing in. I don't remember.
And also, you know, a lot of people mentioned how, you know, the courts have left Michael Flynn's son alone, who was also involved in a lot of his father's business negotiations because they had gone after Michael Flynn. Now that kind of leaves his son open to be prosecuted because they can't do anything with the father.
But Joe Biden is going to be a weak bitch on this, and he is going to instruct his Justice Department to not go after the Trump family. I know it.
We shall see. Listen,
AOC, if we had voted for AOC, if we had voted for my girl Tulsi Gabbard, if Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, any of these people had been elected president, they would have gone after the Trumps for every crime. Biden's not going to rock the boat. He wants to heal the country. He wants to bring us all together, divide the divisions. Whatever, you know, well, what I was getting at.
At the very least, let's just get him out of office, and then we can start, you know, correcting the mess he has made of our country and go forward, hopefully.
And let's hope he does not fuck things up in the meantime, because it's a genuine concern.
Well, listen, he's going to execute. I think he's asked to move ahead with the execution of, I think, the only female on federal death row on January 8th. He is trying to push.
Hold up. Why should a woman, if she has been found guilty of a crime that is eligible for the death sentence, why should a woman not receive that sentence?
It's just a little unusual that's the case they're deciding to push forward. Out of all the people on death row, they're going for the only female on death row to push forward. And now Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, is now taking, I think, $455 million in coronavirus relief funds and moving it into an area that will then require Congress to allow the president to use again. So basically, when the new Treasury Secretary comes in, she will only have $80 million in relief funds to help the American public with, because we're putting this $455 million away.
But it's money that we didn't use.
But it's money that can't be used. I mean, it's money that should have been used.
Correct.
One, but is even if Biden wants to use it, he will now need Congress to approve him to use it, making those Senate races in Georgia that much more important.
Now, have you officially moved to Georgia yet? Because I have. I don't know if people can recognize the different background that I have here. I am actually in Augusta. I moved down here 3 days ago so I could meet the residency requirements. I'm currently living in Georgia. Yeehaw!
Well, I don't know why you went through all that. I will show you. This right here is a stack of all of the absentee ballots from Georgia that I've received already. So I will be, as I said, I like to vote early and I like to vote often. And so I will be putting a lot of Georgia votes in.
All right. I like it. I like your style, sir.
I like the cut of my jib.
Oh, I like a lot about your jib. One time you jibbed on my face, remember?
when
we were in college.
One thing you weren't very happy with me about over the last couple of months is a stock pick that I had given to you. So we've decided.
Are we doing this?
Some of you might remember our Really Angry Money segment from March 5th, early on in the pandemic. Where, you know, I gave some suggestions as to stocks that you may want to look into, stocks that you may want to buy. And there was a particular one that I was high on, and Brian bought it.
I was high because I bought them.
And it has not gone. I mean, it was
buy.
That's right. I wanted to buy it. So Brian has been challenging me on this, so I would like to now go through and review the stocks that I gave you the tips on back in March, and we'll see where we're at. You all right?
Let's remember, this was done March 6th, earlier this year.
Yes.
5th?
5th.
So this was right at the peak of the stock market crash of 2020. Stocks were losing double-digit percents on a daily basis. Senators were making
that was the flat line of the stock. See, I still have all my Really Angry Money sound effects, you know?
I love it. And Ron sat there and said, listen, I am wise, I'm hip, I know what to buy, what to sell, and I listened, and I picked the, I believe we're going to find out in a couple seconds, did Brian pick the worst stock of Ron's offerings? Let's talk.
And the answer would be yes. So the stock that you picked was Pacific Drilling.
Yes.
At the time that you picked it, it was trading at $1.23.
About 25 shares.
25 shares. It closed yesterday at a shade under 3 cents. But it doesn't matter what it's trading at, because you can't sell it anyway, because they have filed for bankruptcy and all common shares will be wiped out. But to be fair, you lost. You're going to lose, what, $30 on that?
Yes. I wanted to make money.
I will be out a hair over $900 on that stock.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
But let's look at some of these other ones that I gave you advice on. So we were talking hotels back then because hotel stocks obviously were hit. The one I was highest on was Marriott. It was at $110.22. That closed yesterday at $129.22. So you bought that, okay. You're making money. Hilton, another one was at $91.50. Closed yesterday at $106.30.
Okay. Now, these were all recommendations to buy.
All recommendations to buy, buy, buy. There we go. IHG, Intercontinental Hotel Group. That was at $52.10. Now at $63.19. Could have made some money there.
Yeah.
Billy makes a good point. I'm losing $900 in the stock market when I could have paid for a few lap dances with that much money.
At the Rosewood Theater. Rosewood Theater up on 15.
The last hotel I recommended, and I wasn't huge on it because I didn't think there was as much upside, was Hyatt. They were trading around $70. They closed yesterday at $73.34. So not as
You still would have done better buying Hyatt stock than Pacific Drilling.
Correct. I also was big on the cruise ship segment. I was a little early on a couple of them. Royal Caribbean would have been a good one. It was at $66.40. It closed yesterday at $80.08. So you would have made some money there.
You said Caribbean.
The Caribbean.
Is that the way you normally pronounce it or no?
Much like I say tortilla chip at times.
That was fighting words.
So Norwegian Cruises, it was at $29, closed yesterday at $23.20. That's one I still think will bounce back, but one that you actually should have waited. I actually got into Norwegian Cruises when they were at $11. So that is one that I'm on the upswing with. And Carnival Cruises was at $28, now at $20.65. So a couple there that you probably could have waited a little bit.
Okay.
Let's see what else. Glu Mobile was, you asked me for some stocks that I was currently holding. So Glu Mobile was one of them. That was at $7.10. Now at $9.50. Could have made a few bucks there. Minerva Neurosciences, that was one that was at $8.50. Unfortunately, now that's at $3.93. But I'd like to make a little caveat. It actually hit a high of $15.22 in late May. So if you had gotten out, you would have made some money.
What does Minerva Technologies do?
So they do different types of drugs, but they were working on a...
Hey, I do a bunch of drugs, but you don't see me valuing on the stock exchange.
So they had a schizophrenia drug that was in phase 3 clinical trials. And unfortunately, in late May, they reported that it had a poor showing. It wasn't showing anything different than what the placebo was. That's when their stock tanked. And see, I held on too long. It was at 15, and I was like, I can sell this. I can almost double my money. And then I'm like, let's let it ride. Let's see how high it can go. And crashed and burned. So
it happens.
Happy about that. And then two, which I recommended and did not buy, and I could kick myself over now. I had a couple in the energy sector. One was Fuel Cell Energy, was at $1.96, closed yesterday at $8.84.
Why didn't I buy that one?
I don't know. Why didn't you buy And this one, you want to feel bad because I feel bad. Plug Power was at $4.50 back on March 5th when I recommended it. Yesterday, it closed at $26.16.
What?
A 520% increase since March.
And I bought Pacific Drilling, which went from $1.03 down to 3 cents.
Don't buy.
So you bought the wrong one.
The House of Pain.
Yes, that's where you're in. But I would just like to say that you only picked one of the stocks that I recommended, whereas had you picked pretty much any other stock I recommended, you would have made some money, my friend.
In a world where Brian was pretty hammered that night and only wrote down the name of Pacific Drilling the next morning, and that's why he bought it.
So we were talking about Kyle Rittenhouse a little bit earlier.
Hold on a second. Before we move on, congratulations. You actually had some very strong picks. Because what a lot of people don't realize is that I have been riding you over Pacific Drilling's stock price since March.
Rightfully so.
And you've kept your head up high, and now I realize why.
Yeah. Well, so we were talking about Kyle Rittenhouse earlier. He is, of course, the 17-year-old who faces murder charges due to a shooting on August 25th during Black Lives protest matter in Wisconsin. And apparently he's out on bail. He got his $2 million bond. He was assisted by both MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell and
asshole
actor Ricky Schroeder.
Son of a bitch. He beats his girlfriend.
When did Ricky start going by Ricky again? Because there was a long time where he just wanted to be Rick. He's like, I'm Rick.
Oh, I think he still wants to be Rick. I just think that people don't care what his preference is, and they just call him Ricky.
So you were the one who brought this to my attention. Your thoughts on Kyle Rittenhouse getting out on bail and the blowback for Ricky Schroeder that he has received by putting money into his bail fund.
Okay. I believe that this kid has every right to a trial. I believe he has a right to a defense. I believe an argument can be made that the shooting death was from self-defense. This is on. There's a video of this, and clearly the kid is being chased after, falls to the ground, somebody gets near him, and he pulls the trigger. I believe there is an argument for self-defense. With that said, I think that he had no business traveling out of state where he lives to quote unquote defend property that belonged to somebody else who didn't ask him and did not invite him to defend. But I don't know that that's relevant to the court case of the murder charge against him. I think the fact that he is out on bail is an example of how the wealthy have the ability to use the legal system to their advantage. If you have money, you are able to buy your way out of jail while waiting for your court case to take place. If you are poor, you languish in jail in a fucking scary environment where you tend to rack up additional charges.
So you would argue, and again, I'm not saying I'm taking either side of this argument.
You know me, I don't like arguing.
But you would argue that he inserted himself into the middle of a situation that he did not need to insert himself. So can anything from that point forward really be construed as self-defense?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait, are we talking? I mean, I don't know what the definition of self-defense is. The criteria
in
Wisconsin
standpoint yet.
I'm the equivalent of Rudy Giuliani defending Kyle Rittenhouse here. All I'm saying is the fact that the circumstances that got him to that moment never should have existed. In that moment, I can understand a self-defense defense. Not saying I agree with it, but I can absolutely see a good legal team getting this kid off.
Okay, fair enough.
Never should have been there. Had no right to be there. Absolutely.
Correct.
And to me, I think also, isn't it a federal crime to bring a weapon over state lines?
I mean, yeah, and I'm a little surprised that his mother hasn't been charged yet either, because she brought him across state lines with a weapon that he shouldn't have. He's underage. He's 17
yeah.
years old. I mean, there's a lot to really unpack, and the courts will certainly have their work cut out for them trying to get this all broken down.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, let's talk about who did we lose this past week, Brian? We had some passings. One that I know.
New York
pretty hard.
Is in mourning.
Yes.
And not mourning as in time to eat breakfast, but mourning as in we are a dark cloud has come over New York City. We lost former mayor David Dinkins.
Yep. in 1989, becoming the city's first and only black mayor.
And who did he take over from?
Ed Koch.
My favorite mayor.
America's mayor, Ed Koch. You want to talk about America's mayor. Ed Koch was America's mayor.
Absolutely. Dinkins, I would say that he was not a popular mayor. I would say that he really was trying to do absolutely nothing in so many different ways. There were the race riots in Crown Heights that lasted for 3 days, where Dinkins pretty much just said, let's not really not do much. Crime was rising under his tenure. He could have done some great things. Unfortunately, I don't believe he accomplished any of them.
Nope. Became only the second one-term New York mayor in the last half century. He had closely defeated three-term incumbent Ed Koch, as you mentioned, and also Rudy Giuliani. Ended up losing to Giuliani in 1993.
Yeah. I was not a fan.
You mentioned that. Anything in particular that you weren't, any particular reason you weren't a fan?
I felt that he, should have pushed the police department to come down harder on the crack epidemic. I mean, it really was peaking under his tenure. Crime was rising. And I believe that there was a lack of law and order in New York City.
Well, don't forget the Crown Heights riots occurred under his watch.
Yes.
So anybody else we lost this week, Brian?
The soccer world is in mourning. And not mourning as in you're about to have breakfast, but mourning as in there has been a dark cloud covering the soccer world. Argentina's Diego Maradona passed away. Now, many of you may wonder, who the fuck is Diego Maradona? Diego Maradona, dead at age 60, took Argentina, which was then not considered a soccer or football, as they like to pronounce it, not known as a powerhouse, to the World Cup. I believe it was 1984 when
quarterfinals of the World Cup in 84.
There you go. Was it in Germany or in England? Or he beat England.
They were playing England that game.
And it was a David versus Goliath. It was a Latin America versus Europe. There was so much at stake during that game, and Maradona helped his country win, bringing great pride and glory to his country. Oddly enough,
the infamous hand of God goal that he scored in that game,
which is odd because I described the hand of God also I was going to imply that you gave me a hand job, but
I thought that's happening. What you paid $900 at the strip club for was the hand of God on their menu.
I only paid $900 for dances. That was the worst part of it. Wow. But in 1997, I visited Argentina for a month.
Really?
And got the opportunity to see Diego Maradona play for the local soccer team, Boca Juniors. Yes, that's a name, Boca Juniors. The local team that he was playing for saw him score a goal on a penalty kick that was very suspicious as the game was winding down and he had not scored anything.
I also watched a video today of him scoring, winning a game on a penalty kick, and then allegedly someone bringing him some cocaine to do on the field as he celebrated.
Good for him. Good for him.
Listen, got involved in a little bit of drugs and a little bit of organized crime. And
a lot of it. After he played in Argentina, he went over to Italy, where there were a lot of allegations of mob involvement in the teams that he was playing for. We don't discuss it now because I do not want my knees broken tomorrow when I go to work. Ergo, we don't talk about that.
Fair enough. Brian, before we wrap things up this week, what are you watching?
Oh, watch some good things this week. First off, I watched the new episode of The Mandalorian, which I have become increasingly unenamored with, as I now see that this show is literally just going to be The Mandalorian just traveling around space with Baby Yoda getting into some wild adventures with his actual story not accomplishing anything or contributing to the arc of the characters. Showtime has a very good documentary on John Belushi, the late Saturday Night Live actor, who also appeared in Animal House, appeared in Neighbors, appeared in Continental Divide, appeared in The Blues Brothers.
That's enough.
But what it was, what I found it was interesting was that it was a lot of audio interviews with the people that were involved in John Belushi's life. So they interviewed Lauren Michaels, they interviewed Dan Aykroyd, they interviewed Judy Belushi, the wife. They interviewed everybody but the woman that injected Belushi that fateful night at the Chateau Marmont.
Well, I believe she's dead now, isn't she?
Yeah, she died a couple days ago.
Not a couple days ago, a couple years ago.
No, it was it was recently.
I don't think it was.
I'm going to look it up. Hopefully my internet doesn't get wacky.
Don't do it on your computer. You know that's just going to...
Too late. I'm already looking it up.
Oh, my God. And I will. I do have to give you credit, begrudgedly so. Dancing with the Stars, Crown.
Hold up. Kathy Smith, who injected him, died September 4th, 2020. Eat my shorts.
Fake news. So Dancing with the Stars crowned a winner, Caitlin Bristow, which neither of us picked. We had both picked Johnny Weir to win it, and he didn't even...
Brett Weir.
He didn't even sniff the finals. He wasn't even the final three. But to your credit, my friend, you picked two of the final three, with Neve Schulman and actress Justina Machado, who I still don't believe you know who that is.
But I have no idea.
So with that, you win our Dancing with the Stars wagers. Unfortunately, we didn't bet anything on it. So
damn it.
But maybe I will give you some of this white cream stout as a victory toast when I see you next.
Can I get a Yingling with Hershey's chocolate instead?
Yeah, definitely get to that. Hook you up. I don't think I'm watching anything new. I'm still keeping up with The Undoing. One more episode left in that. Decent.
Okay.
Still keeping up with the new documentary, Murder on Miller Creek, which is interesting. Second episode of that. Watched a lot of stuff. First episodes that just stunk. Love and Anarchy on Netflix. Really bad. The Crown, can't get into it.
Have you watched it before or no?
Tried to watch The Crown before. Like, we watched season one. We tried to watch season... Like, I have no interest in it. There is a new show, though, on Amazon Prime called Wayne, which is about this 16...
Lil Wayne?
Just Wayne. It's about this 16...
Wayne's World?
It's about this 16-year-old kid runs off to Florida with his 15-year-old girlfriend trying to get back this car that his mother stole from his dying dad. It's an interesting premise, done by the people who did Deadpool. It's got a very edgy, violent feel to it. I would check it out. Again, Amazon Prime.
Okay. What else?
Good soundtrack there too. That's all I'm living up to, Brian. Just living life, living the dream, enjoying Turkey Day, getting ready for the holiday season. We're very festive. We're decorated. The tree is up. The lights
Ron?
Are up. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Ron?
Yes, sir.
What are you thankful for?
You know, I am.
Stop. Don't answer. I think that that's something that we should discuss during our After Dark pajama party.
Oh, and the pajama party is coming up right after this episode. For our Patreon subscribers, if you are not a Patreon subscriber, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com.
Do it now.
Become a patron. And just join at the bronze
level. Bronze, yes. You do not want to come in at aluminum. Aluminum is $5 a month, and it gives you access to the audio of our After Dark. Now, this is the behind the paywall. So this is where things get crazy. They get a little risque. I may take my shirt off. Ron has another high alcohol beer and starts telling stories he would never tell under normal circumstances.
Don't forget, I'm doing my stand-up tonight.
I was going to keep that as a surprise, but yes.
You got to tease them a little bit. You got to tickle their ass with a feather sometimes.
I prefer my tongue. But So on the last Thursday of every month, we invite all of our Patreon subscribers at the bronze or higher level to come onto the show with us. You will be seen on the video screen. Ron is in charge of master control. Things get crazy. I've been known to take a few verbal insults. They're usually very accurate. So if you're following the comment section here on the screen, if you're watching this on YouTube and you see how some of our inner circle of fans knocked Ron and I both left and right, up and down. You're going to hear it live and
all
after.
All very valid comments. All 100% valid. I would not share a comment.
Absolutely.
100% valid. And people, they call us on our bullshit, which is important.
And we are going to be doing this at 9:30 Eastern time. So that gives you, it is right now, as we talk, 9:10. You've got 20 minutes to go to RonandBrianPodcast.com. Click the Patreon button in the upper right-hand corner. Go subscribe. Contribute $10 a month or more. Join the After Dark Party.
Tortilla.
All right. Anything else for this week, Brian, before we get on out of here?
No. If you're watching this either live, you're watching this at your own leisure, just be nice to each other.
It doesn't cost anything
to be nice.
We are thankful for each and every listener that has joined us along the last couple of years. We got a ton of entertainment yet to come. We hope to see all of you tonight. Again, Brian's got the coffee mug there. There's a bunch of swag you can get by becoming a Patreon member. Go to RonandBrianPodcast.com. See us on the After Dark. Otherwise, we will catch you next week.